tape two of the Carl Tuttle interview. We were talking about these years in your second term. You can reflect some on those. And while we were taking a little break there, you mentioned the hospice program. You added a hospice program as part of your home health program, or it's just all these things amazing to me.
Dan, hospice really started on their own outside of the health department. In Watauga and in Ashe County. In Allegheny, they came with us from the beginning. And boy, I tell you, I may have some trouble pulling out dates, but Watauga Hospice, I believe, was the first one that was formed. And, you know, time rolls along faster than we realize, but it was in the early 80s. Now, they came with us in about 84.
About 10 years now.
Yes, approaching 10 years. Might have been 85. But hospice wasn't what I would have to say had been successful up at that time. They had struggled greatly for space. They had a little space up in the First Baptist Church in Boone in the basement. And in Ashe County, they had no staff and no money, so you know it was hospice in word only. That's just about it. But we had some dedicated volunteers. You know, they were willing to work. They needed a little bit of guidance. They needed a little help, and so we agreed to take them under our umbrella of administration. And that required that they, you know, do some things too. They had to abolish their local charter. And so we took them in as a, not a part of home health, really as a separate program. To be honest with you, the home health people didn't want any responsibilities for hospice.
I can believe that. They have a full
plate. And I try to consider the wishes of staff, you know.
They have a full plate. They have a lot
of They do. And so we took them on, but I made them understand from day one that it would be my intent to pursue Medicare certification. That I didn't feel like we could raise enough money from volunteers and from fundraisers to keep this thing going, that we were going to have Medicare certification. And so we took them on, we pursued Medicare certification, and of course one of the first things I did is to hire Wanda Branch to run it. I guess, Dan, one of my strong suits is being able to recruit good people.
You pick good people.
And put them in the right positions, and then delegate to them to make decisions.
And then just watch them and enjoy working.
Yeah, and I can do that, and I've been successful
with that.
So I hired Wanda Branch and gave her a great deal of authority to make the appropriate decisions. I gave her help where she needed it, and we got our Medicare certification, and we've been on a fast track ever since.
I can believe
it. And Allegheny came with us when they were ready to get their volunteers and their local board and all. They came with us from day one.
Well, I want you to, you've been at this business a long time. I want you for our listeners in the future to reflect on how you've seen public health change over the year and over the years, and where you think we are and where you think we're headed. We both agree that things have gotten a lot more complicated.
They have, definitely, Dan. You've seen monumental change, and I have too, in public health during our careers. It's like thinking about where we were 50 years ago in our country. We've seen that kind of change from where we are today in public health. It is a lot different. You know, when you started, and certainly when I started, you know, we had nurses, sanitarians, and clerical people,
that was
not much of anything else. You know, now we have social workers, we have various therapists, speech, physical, OT, we have care coordinators, we have breastfeeding specialists, and I'm probably leaving out more than I'm naming, but we have a diverse group.
Yes, we do. It's probably been a blessing in the sense that if when you first came here in 68, if this health department had been like it is now, you probably wouldn't have taken the job. It scared you to death, wouldn't it? It's been able to grow with it.
Rowan County just about scared me to death. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was too much for me to take on in my limited experience. I said, you know, I'd rather have something small.
Right.
Now, Mitchell and Yancey was a little too small. They were a district at that time. Mm-hmm. But this one, the 13 employees in three counties, I felt like I was ready for the challenge.
Right.
But we've got two physicians on staff. We've got a family nurse practitioner.
How many social workers have we got?
We have several social workers. Mm-hmm. We have six nutritionists on staff.
Wow.
It's just, you know, unbelievable where we've come from. Well, obviously, the big changes, I guess, is certainly in volume. You know, that there's just no comparison. It's huge. We have over 10,000 active records in this county. There's a lot more paperwork. You know, we're in the computer age.
Yes, sir.
I'd have to count up the computers. I don't know how many computers we've got, but we've got a bunch of computers. Lots of technology requires the computers now. We've seen the change in finance and reimbursement. You know, our largest source of funding is fees. Mm-hmm. And Dan, believe it or not, there was people that I worked with in the early 70s that foreseen this coming. I'm not going to say that I've foreseen it all coming. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Fergus Pope from Spruce Pine was one of our active physicians in health and public health, and he said, you know, I believe this Medicaid program might get to be one of our largest funding sources eventually. And boy, he hit it on the head, didn't he?
Sure,
I mean,
he
really hit the nail on the head there. So we've seen these monumental changes with Medicaid, and that we will probably receive $750,000 from Medicaid this year. And so when you get into fee programs, that necessitates a lot of things that you've never done before. Right. I remember when we first made the decision that we were going to charge for a service. You know, this is a major change in public health. Mm-hmm. We made that decision. We were one of the early counties to make it, that we had to charge fees for certain services. Now, you know, we can't charge for certain services.
Right.
That it's required in the general statute that you're not charged for some, like communicable disease. But we made a decision that for some of these other things, we were going to have to charge. So we started early charging for services. And we collect substantial revenues from patients in addition to what we collect from Medicaid, other insurance companies, Medicare. So fees is our largest funding source. And that's a big change. But, you know, the difference between public health and some other providers, was advised last week that another provider was taking one of our patients to court for an $80 bill. And we don't do that. You know, we don't turn people away. We bill them twice, and we write them a letter on the third time if it's not paid, trying to encourage payment. Mm-hmm. But if they don't pay it, then we write it off as a bad debt.
Right.
So those are big changes from mm-hmm. not providing any services that you charge for, even environmental, and we charge for those too, to charging for lots of services. Mm-hmm. But we are here to serve the people in every way that we can. And so we're not going to be taking them to court. We've seen the county share of funding shrink percentage-wise greatly over the years. Mm-hmm. And probably you won't see that in every county, but it's certainly true here. And I guarantee it's
true
in,
a lot of
in some of your other district departments especially,
yes.
And many others. Mm-hmm. So the county share has shrunk greatly.
Fees have gone up dramatically. How about the state?
The state percentage would have gone down because the fees have outpaced everything else. Sure would have. and the federal percentage would have gone down too. There's a lot more, Dan, that you get involved with community type activities, and that's not to say that we were totally excluded from those or didn't participate in them, but it, you know, we've got Healthy Carolinians, we've got Smart Start, we've got Home Health Advisory Council, we've got Hospice Advisory Board, we've got Project STOP, and so it's just a huge base of community groups that we work with these days that we didn't have nearly that much involvement with in the past. Where are we going in certain areas? I think there's.
Where do you think public health's headed?
Well, we're going to be around. First of all, public health's not going to come to a halt. Our activities, our purpose is still going to be here, and we're still going to have health directors and social workers and nurses.
Health departments.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a role, but it certainly probably will change. Mm-hmm. I think we may well see some of the services end up going to other providers.
Personal health type services.
We're going to see some of it. How much of it, I don't know, but we're seeing it already in Mecklenburg County. Mm-hmm. And it could happen with managed care faster in other areas.
Right.
And especially if people like Medicaid, if they don't have the same rules for managed care plans as they have for local health departments, it could happen real fast. But
yes,
certain services will have other players. There'll be more competition. There's definitely going to be more competition. And, you know, this is a changing role, because when I started public health, we looked at our role as filling the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Filling the gaps. Doing what somebody else didn't do, didn't want to do, couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And our role, as we talk today, goes way beyond that, because we are competitors in certain areas, like home health.
And we're talking about revenue and
some
money.
Other places. We sure are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how we fit into managed care, our role could change rather dramatically, or it might not change a great deal if we can fit into that piece of the operation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without being eliminated from it up front.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that. At lunch today, we were talking about how the area had changed and how Boone had changed since you first came here. Felt the population of this county in particular has grown over the years. How about environmental health issues? Y'all struggle with development, or you don't have much problem with that in this? I know down on the coast we have serious problems with development.
We struggle with it, and we've had problems with it. I don't think any more than anybody else, and maybe not much less. But we have problems in environmental health. If we have to turn down a lot at let's say at Hound Ears,
mm-hmm.
that might sell for $80,000. Not
yes,
everybody
sir.
Would be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. But y'all do you do turn down lots.
But you have to turn down lots. You know,
yes,
the
sir.
Rules don't allow you to approve everything.
Mm-hmm.
The rules that were, well, it's not rules, it's legislation, I believe. The,
mm-hmm.
One of the bills that just passed allowed more flexibility on some lots, and we have right much saprolite in some areas of this area, and so we felt like for years that some saprolite would be okay for a septic tank, and the state didn't, and so now we can use it with the recent legislation that was approved. So it will allow some more lots to be approved. But we've always taken the position, Dan, that if it's not going to work, the best thing for everyone, us, the home buyer and the developer is that you don't build that house to start with. But we
it
do.
It doesn't
want,
come back to haunt you.
We
then,
want.
Does
we
it?
Want to be reasonable.
Right.
But it doesn't help anybody if you put a home out here on a lot that can't support a septic tank, and if you don't have another alternative. Mm-hmm.
Well, Carl, you have been not only a leader in these counties, but in our state and in the Health Directors Association. And what is having worked in Poet Health all these years meant to you? I know you've enjoyed it, but it's kind of special after a while, isn't it?
Well, it is, Dan. I've enjoyed it. It's meant to me a healthy working career. And, you know, I get along with the staff pretty well and the public, and I've been fortunate in that the media has generally been kind to me. I've had a great board. It's been a good situation. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I came to this work over 20 years ago now, one of the first statements that was made to me, well, it's like joining a family, and I thought they were just kidding, you know, being nice. But it's true, isn't it?
Well, we truly have a public health family.
We sure do.
You know, we lean on each other a lot. you ask about the early days and our administrative directors and all. We leaned on each other a lot, and we still do. Mm-hmm. It's not to say you can't talk to anybody else, but health directors lean on each other a lot. If I have a problem that I'm not comfortable with, if I run it by Howard Campbell or Leonard Wood or Leah Devlin or somebody, yeah, they can help you out.
Get good consultation that way, can't you?
Yeah, you sure can. Mm-hmm. Dan Reimer has a real good knowledge of the AIDS program rules.
So these people represent resources for
you.
Yeah,
boy. Yeah. And
not only that, but they're good friends.
I said a long time ago, you don't have to know everything, but know where to go to get help. Mm-hmm. It may be another health director, but it might be Jeff Cousy. Mm-hmm. It might be Ron Levine. And you know, we've got a lot of resources to tap, and so it's nice to know that you can go somewhere to get help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been delightful, and I want to thank you for all you've done for public health in North Carolina. You've made a major contribution to our state and to our family, and we appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you, Dan. And you know, it's always good to look back and feel like that you made a little bit of difference.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks so much.
You did well. Yeah.